KBTC, a viewer-supported community service of Bates Technical College.
From KBTC Public Television Studios in Tacoma, Washington, it's the Northwest Now podcast. Each week, we take a closer look at the people and issues that affect all of us here in Western Washington. So sit back, relax, and join the conversation with your host, Tom Lason.
Black History Month is about recognition, yes, but learning is year-round, and that's the purpose of the Northwest African American Museum inside the Coleman School Building in Seattle's Central District. We'll meet the new CEO. And celebrating Black History Month in West Seattle, the Washington State Black Legacy Institute opens its doors and kicks off with a month-long art exhibit. February is Black History Month, and that's the discussion next on Northwest Now. For 17 years, the Northwest African American Museum has been about centering African American history, and the new CEO says that includes adding the context needed to illustrate how it fits within the larger history of the Pacific Northwest. Brandon Bird served as the museum's operations director until he was selected from a field of more than 90 candidates to be the new CEO. Brandon Bird, thanks so much for coming to Northwest Now. Great to have you here and talk a little bit about the Northwest African American Museum. Let's start, though, with your bio. And you got to give a shout out to Tacoma. Talk a little bit about your early years and how you came up.
Yeah, I came up born and raised in Tacoma, Washington. Went to Curtis Junior High School and then moved to the heart of Tacoma, became a Stadium Tiger. Graduated from Stadium High School, go Tigers.
All right. Talk a little bit about art. It was kind of, based on my reading, I think, feel free to correct me, you know, the host of the show, as people well know, doesn't always get it right. It seems to me like art was kind of your first love. Art is what kind of pulled you into academia and pulled, it really captured your interest as a young person.
Yeah, actually, slight correction. I had the opportunity to move up to Seattle and work for a really beautiful small arts college, Corners College of the Arts in downtown Seattle. And that was my real introduction to the full range and impact that art provides. Great faculty, inspiring students. And so as I became or had the opportunity to take on more responsibility within my roles at the college, I started to have a great desire to create additional resources and opportunities for those faculty and those students to explore and experiment and hone their craft. And really, I started to grow more and more appreciative of what the arts offers.
Mm-hmm. And talk about then how you got to NAM and how did that all come together?
Yeah, so I had an opportunity where after five really intense years working within the senior administration team at Corners College of the Arts to take a step back, recharge after COVID, my batteries. I was fortunate enough to be in a position to be able to do that. And it was one of the greatest things that happened because after several months, I started to get the itch to get back into the professional field. I knew I wanted to continue with meaningful work in some way. There ended up being an opportunity at NAM to help with a leadership transition. So I came in an interim role. After just about three weeks, I just fell in love with the mission of the museum. Mission of the museum is to use Black heritage to cultivate healing and hope for all. And we do that through exhibitions, programming, other activities. And it was really like, kind of like my career. It was one step at a time. And through each step, having a larger and larger opportunities
and what's nice,
to make an impact.
You started in operations.
Correct.
Which I think, I am a real believer in people matriculating up to the manager or the CEO spot. Yes, there's a class of people out there that bounce from rose petal to rose petal as CEOs once they kind of get their ticket punched. I think in an organization, my favorite organizations and the organizations that I think really work, the CEO or the GM or whoever it is has come up And I think that's a real advantage.
I appreciate you saying that. Definitely, I'm a byproduct of kind of that process. I've had a tremendous amount of opportunities to work with really great people, thought leaders, who have helped influence kind of not only my skill set, but my overall perspective of what is a healthy organization and how to really max out its potential. Again, I think it was just so fortunate, and I'll be forever appreciative of the opportunity that was presented, given the timing, to be able to work in steward, really, I think is what my lead role is now, is to be a steward for the great foundation that was already set at the Northwest African American Museum.
Yeah.
And really ensure we are maximizing our full potential moving forward.
And really work on that sustainability piece, which I know is one of the major challenges for any arts institution or museum institution or heck, public broadcasting. You're always talking about, yes, we got to keep the lights on and do the things, but sustainability is really where, how we plan, and we have to think about it. Talk a little bit about that and the challenges coming out of COVID for funding and trying to not only set the goal for sustainability, but working toward achieving it.
Correct.
I know it's a lot.
No, absolutely. It's a great challenge to embrace. I think this sector overall is really at a moment of introspection around visitor engagement and how that also relates to growth, needed growth as a demographic shift. And so certainly as at the top of our mind, not just how do we maintain our general operating budget and resources, but how do we position ourselves to grow and expand our influence in the work that we're doing. And so that's being really attentive to your membership base, ensuring that we're presenting opportunities of value for their continued support. Obviously, that extends to our fabulous donors, our volunteers, to make sure they're having meaningful opportunities of engagement, and really listening to the community to ensure that we are reflecting back to them exhibitions or programmatic activities that they find meaningful and want to engage with.
Now I want to talk about, since you brought it up kind of about programming, about what I'm sure keeps you up at night. We live in a world now where with TikTok, 5 seconds, 5 seconds, 5 seconds, new thing, my attention span, it's zero. My attention span is literally zero. A museum, it's even back in the day, it's hard to say, hey, come to the museum again. You think you've seen it. Well, we got a few new things in there. How in the world? To me, that just seems like the big issue for museums and things that have installations is keeping it fresh. I mean, there isn't enough money in the world to change it out every 10 seconds. So
I feel you've been a participant in our team meetings. This is very much the topics that we discuss regularly. I think we're in a really fortunate situation, even though we're a relatively small museum, just south of 20,000 square feet. The majority of our gallery spaces and exhibition areas offer opportunities to approach them as a blank canvas more than a finished piece of work. And so, again, it comes back to listening to the community, listening to your constituent base about subject matter, material that they would find meaningful or they want to explore more, and then creating those opportunities through exhibitions. So I think it was one of the more attractive elements that I was introduced to when I came to NAMM. And we will continue to like push the envelope as it relates to our creativity, but we're not confined, I guess, in a way that maybe other museums.
You've got some flexibility with space. You can do multimedia. You can do fixed installations. You can do participation things. I mean,
absolutely. And one of the things that we talk about consistently within the team is how do we tell the same story in different ways, right? How are we able to create a more holistic understanding of a particular subject matter. And that very much gets to the heart of trying to answer the question, why would you come back every week to engage with the materials at the museum? Well, hopefully what you're experiencing is something different each time you visit.
Different touch points.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then there's so much depth in the stories of the Black experience, mm-hmm. especially the Black experience within the Pacific Northwest, that people are not as familiar with as maybe they are with more national connected
yeah.
subject matter. And so we have almost an endless opportunity to share relevant historical truths with people. And we really think that there's a tremendous opportunity for us to maximize so that we do see increased visitorship. We do see increased engagement.
I articulated the thing that I think keeps you up at night, but I will say now I'll articulate the thing that in my perception is kind of your home run, which is you cover a very specific square. You're not the museum of general history, and it could be some of this, and it could be some of that. Who knows, you know? No, it's African-American history in the Pacific Northwest, which means you can kind of own that space. And like you said, add layer and depth to those stories that maybe gets people to re-engage. Talk a little bit about the mission again. I think you've gestured at it in a couple of your answers, but how do you view your mission, and you said that stewardship piece, when it comes to the fact that you kind of own this one particular piece, which is very important.
We certainly, you know, I think how I would phrase it is that we are a foundational piece that people can gravitate towards, right? So there's some great work that's happening in the community. There's great work that's happening in the historical fields. And we can serve as an anchor that pulls these people to us so that we can create and amplify the, opportunities for people to learn about the significant contributions within the Black experience, specifically, again, to the Pacific Northwest. But also on a national scale. Mm-hmm. So from this last, for example, this last June.
Yeah, you had Emmett Till. Yeah.
We had Emmett Till. Mm-hmm. And there was a full range of emotional engagement from individuals that found the story too painful mm-hmm. previously to engage with. And then on the other side of the spectrum were individuals who didn't actually know the story at all.
Right.
And we presented them with the opportunity for the first time to not just learn the story, but learn the historical truths in relation to that story. Our range is predominantly focused on the Pacific Northwest. However, we will lean into the opportunity.
Yeah.
Where appropriate to expand that boundary.
If some great exhibit is traveling the country, boom, there you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then certainly we have a responsibility as stewards of the museum to continue to be bold in our exhibitions and our programming. It's just in its 17th year, which still seems so young to me, especially coming from Cornish. But it has such a great track record of exhibitions and experiences with thought leaders. And there have been so many established leaders that have come through since the doors opened in March 08.
NAM was founded kind of interestingly with a little bit of an activism piece to it. I can't remember what, in the early 80s, or 93, you know, there's a group of artists and activists occupied the Coleman School, and they're in there for a while. Then Norm Rice,
yeah. Yes.
A lot of this is out of distant memory, comes in, they get some funding, and it turns into NAM, and it becomes a thing. Is there still an activist piece to this? And I don't mean in a negative way, but kind of in a, like Emmett Till, this is a story you've never heard. You need to hear it, okay? I mean, there's activism in sharing some of those things.
Absolutely, and certainly activism predominantly is to advance for the benefit of a particular area, a demographic, or collective group. The museum is not a museum. We do not come into creation without community activism. the longest domestic occupation
is
in our nation's history.
Was it?
I understand
okay.
it, yes.
That's an interesting trivia piece.
And so it was through that commitment, the community commitment, that created the environment eventually for the creation of the museum. And we will forever be indebted to that commitment. Yes, I think by our commitment to ensuring that the contributions and historical truths of Black Americans within the Pacific Northwest, and then but beyond, are known and celebrated, and more importantly, understood. It has an activist component to it. Mm-hmm. But again, I would say that what ties us to our mission is the hope and healing for all, mm-hmm. right? I think, especially now, it's extremely important for us to amplify the great work that's happening in the community and really use our resources to share our story in a way that connects individuals, especially individuals who are not as familiar with those stories.
That's a great segue. And let's flesh that out a little bit. I'm not going to ask you necessarily how you feel about Black Lives Matter and groups like that, but that's fine. I don't want to put you in a spot. But you see yourself as a bringer or togetherer as opposed to a pusher or a parter. And I think there's a distinction.
Certainly that's been our historical starting point the culmination of our work thus far. I think it's important for people to find a interconnectedness, especially with individuals who come from cultural backgrounds that they are not as familiar with. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen, especially the last half decade, a potential stalling of that level of openness. And we have an opportunity to influence individuals within our local region and also within the digital landscape to contribute to a recommitment.
That's another one that
exploring and courage.
That's another one that's keeping you up at night, which is how do you get into the digital world? How do you turn this from a museum into a museum that's online and has digital resources? I'm sure you're
Very interesting.
Working overtime on that.
The museum was closed for 3 years because as an impact of COVID and had no other means to reach its constituents except for to go online. And they did, as over its history it's shown to do, they did it in remarkable ways. When it reopened on Martin Luther King Day, January 23, with tremendous turnout for visitorship on that day and through and since, it did not engage as many online programming activities as it had during the period it was closed. I definitely see it as an opportunity to explore and experiment with.
And you dipped your toe into that world a little bit during COVID, it sounds like. So you got a little bit of that infrastructure built.
Correct.
But now it's going to be feeding that goat, fleshing it out.
And certainly we think our work contributes to the advancement of society. And we'd like to share that work as widely as possible. So many people moved during the COVID years. And moved out of state, don't necessarily have an easily available opportunity to get in a car and come see us physically. So where we can create these meaningful engagement opportunities within the digital landscape is definitely going to be a focus of ours moving forward.
This sounds kind of like a dumb question, but I'm asking it so you can have a full experience with it. And that is, why history? We're in Black History Month right now when this program airs. Why is studying history important? How does what's in the past and understanding it help us today?
Yeah, it's not at all a dumb question.
It's the big, it's
and there's
the big
a lot
question.
Of there's a lot of ways to answer that. To try to be succinct, what I'd say is history is what grounds us. and understanding facts and truths. And it's important for us to not only acknowledge, but to learn from our historical arc so that we can be as informed as possible around the decisions we make in the present and moving forward. As it relates to Black history, even in 2025, unfortunately, there's a large group of individuals who don't really fully understand the contributions and significance of Black Americans and our nation's growth.
Or in the Pacific Northwest growth.
Or in the Pacific Northwest mm-hmm. growth. And so, again, it is at the heart of what we do to share those historical truths and information with others so they can be more informed citizens and hopefully better human beings.
What's available for schools and school kids? Because I really think that's the pathway for a lot of this, is getting elementary. Do you guys run schools through? Talk a little bit about that.
There's a tremendous number of tours from K through five, from middle school to high school. We'll see during February a significant growth in perspective to the rest of the year for tours, guided tours to come through. We have continually strong relationships with the Seattle Public Schools and some private schools in the area. We have programs that are very much centered on youth literacy, so our Knowledge is Power program, book giveaway program. We have an interactive story time, which we air on our YouTube channel, that is very much focused on youth, not just being introduced to a new book, but that new book being centered on Black characters or people of color that they can relate to, mm-hmm. especially at a time, such an important developmental time of their lives.
Last 60 seconds here, shameless plug time. If people want to learn more, get involved, see what you're up to, figure out how to get there, how do they enter your world?
The best place is to start with our website, which is naamnw.org. Please sign up for our newsletter and see all of the programming opportunities that we have in February. And then also moving forward, we have two great new exhibitions that we would love people to come and engage with also.
And folks, I'm sure, can get on a mailing list so they're told, hey, we got something new probably, right?
Absolutely. We make it really easy. Please just go to our website, scroll down, enter your information, and you will be up to date with all the events and activities we have going on.
Brandon Bird, great conversation. Thanks so much for coming to Northwest Now.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
If you want to learn more about the Northwest African American Museum, check out their website at naamnw.org. Now we travel to West Seattle, where Steve Kiggins takes us to the new Washington State Black Legacy Institute that has opened its doors and is featuring an art exhibit honoring Black history.
The excitement builds as they gear up, making history.
We will never be finished.
Adding touches to a project years in the making.
Black history is American history.
And coming together inside a Seattle landmark.
This space is your space. Enjoy it.
This former church is now home to the Washington State Black Legacy Institute and officially recognized by the City of Seattle.
Do hereby proclaim February 1st, 2025 to be Washington State Black Legacy Institute Day.
On the first day of Black History Month, the Institute welcomed the public to celebrate its grand opening and view its Black Legacy art exhibition.
We're standing on the shoulders of great men and women who have paved the way before us.
The exhibit illuminates Black Americans both locally and beyond, sharing stories about those who defined music, and displays portraits of Black Americans elected to leadership.
This day is just really special.
CEO and President Katisha Atterbury says the Institute not only brings our past into the present, but can also foster leaders of new generations.
Before I forget, I just want to thank my young men here, the young legacy builders. This is our future. We are responsible for bringing them up, training them, mentoring them, and supporting them in their endeavors and their goals. This legacy is for you. I am honored to support you. Those men up there on that wall, those are you. You are the future pioneers.
And it is the first day of Black History Month.
Seattle City Councilman Rob Saka joined the Institute's opening, pledging support and commitment to diversity.
When there are political efforts to politicize things that shouldn't be political, to defund, de-strip, devalue, and de-emphasize diversity, equity, inclusion efforts all over the country. I want you to know that in the city of Seattle and the city of Seattle government, we will continue to honor and celebrate diversity, equity, inclusion.
The Institute illuminates individuals who reverberate across centuries. Atterbury reminds that even more Black history waits to be written.
We have to continue to tell our story, what we've been able to overcome. We are and were and still will be pioneers in American history.
In West Seattle, Steve Kiggins, Northwest Now.
The theme of Black History Month 2025 is African Americans and labor. The bottom line, work of all kinds in the labor movement have been important parts of Black progress. Here's a little history for you. This year marks the 100-year anniversary of the first Black union to receive AFL recognition. It was the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters and Maids. That was back when train travel was how you got around.